For many people, Memorial Day is merely a day at the beach. We remind you, though, that your day at the beach was paid for in part by the day brave men stormed the beaches of Normandy, and many other brave men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we and others may live free. This Memorial Day, take time to remember those who have sacrificed to secure and defend our freedom, and thank God for His blessings on America.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week we talked about the attack that is currently being waged on girls, women, and womanhood. And today on Mother's Day, we're going to turn our focus to motherhood, the attack on motherhood and womanhood. And this attack has been going on for some time, yet we're seeing the level of the attack is so much greater today than it ever has been before, where you have actually women and girls competing against men, biological men, in sporting events. And you have women their products are being advertised by men as if they needed those products or would need those products without surgery or some sort of enhancement. And so we see really a greater attack on motherhood and on womanhood. But we know from the Bible that women are valuable and necessary. And in fact, mothers are necessary. Every one of us, none of us would be here without our mother. And each one of us owes a great debt and a great amount of gratitude to our mothers. And we look to Scripture today, and we're going to look to Scripture and apply the Bible to this important topic of womanhood and motherhood. In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 through 25, we read, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will rejoice greatly, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." So see, here we see the importance of both the father and the mother in raising and training the next generation, training their children. And the son is told to listen to his father who begot him and to not despise his mother when she is old, to honor her, to value her, to respect her. And then you see in Proverbs 23, or verse 23, "Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." And these come from the parents. The parents are the primary early educators of the child, and throughout life can share wisdom and instruction and understanding with their children. And in verse 24, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him." And then in verse 25, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." So the father and the mother are to be glad because their son, their daughter, is honoring God and living a life that is praiseworthy. A life that will, where people will look and say, wow, that young man, that young woman is going to go somewhere in life because that child has sought wisdom and instruction and understanding and bought truth and not sold it. And this is really what we see from the Bible. And there are really three lies from the pit of hell concerning motherhood today that we are going to look at. And we may not get to all of these. In fact, I'm not sure whether we'll cover these in subsequent week or weeks, or whether we might cover them in subsequent years on Mother's Day. But there are three lies from the pit of hell. And these lies are lies that we are going to address from Scripture. And the first lie is that mothers aren't important. And this is, it's really critical that we realize, obviously, I mentioned just a little bit ago, none of us would be here without our mother. You know, just recently, there were two homosexual males that had a child. Now, obviously, they didn't have a child by themselves. They had to have an egg from a woman. And I'm not sure which one of them provided the seed. Maybe both of them provided seed. And as happens with normal circumstance, you would have the strongest one would win and get to the egg and fertilize the egg first. So I'm not sure exactly how that all happened, but they also had to have a woman that would carry this child. Yet after the baby was born, and the mother of, or the actual birthing mother of their child was maybe moved to another bed, they actually got into the birthing bed with the baby and took a picture as if they had birthed this baby. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Really, it is necessary to have both a father and a mother to create children. Now, scientists are working on artificial wombs, and they're working on this largely so that homosexual men can have children. Obviously, they're still going to need an egg from a woman to fertilize, but the idea is that the baby could actually grow in this womb. But we see from Scripture that God showed from the beginning that women are important and that man is incomplete without a woman. And we read last week, we won't read the entire passage this week, but we read last week the account in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, going through verse 25, of how God created man, and he said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And then God proceeded to make animals, and he makes all the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and he brought them to Adam, and whatever he would call them, and whatever Adam called every living creature, that was its name. So he brought him a giraffe, he brought him a lion, he brought him a bear, he brought him all the different creatures that you see on the land, all the different creatures that you see in the sky. And it's just amazing when you think about the diversity, the diversity in size, in color, in shape, in power and ability. And it's just amazing when you look at the various detail that went into creation. You know, I often think about this, and I've said this before, and you probably have heard me say this, that one of the things that is amazing to me is that when you look at creation, you see that God really could have just created everything to be one color. He could have created everything to have one smell. He could have created everything to look just like each other. He didn't have to create so many different types of animals and types of birds. And even when you look at plants and grass and trees and all the different herbs and vegetables and fruit, everything that we see, it's just amazing the detail and the intricacies. And even things that are in the same family, you see great variation between them. And it's just amazing when you actually look at this and you see this happening. And yet God did this, and God brought the animals to Adam, and God brought the birds to Adam, and God said, name these animals. And Adam did so, but there was not found a helper comparable to him. So out of all the animals, out of all the birds, Adam didn't see, well, you know, I could, hang out with this lion, or I could hang out with this wolf, or I could hang out, you know, as amazing as animals are, and as amazing as the friendship and camaraderie that we can have with them. Obviously, we cannot communicate with them on the same level that we can with a human. You know, it's only in movies and in a few occasions, like in the Bible, where God caused a donkey to speak to Balak, I believe. It was either Balak or Balaam, to speak to a donkey to warn him to not go and curse the people of Israel. But it's only with a supernatural time like that that you actually see animals, or in movies or in fiction, that you see animals actually speaking. But we can actually communicate with humans verbally. And so there wasn't found a helper comparable to man. And then God caused Adam to take a deep sleep. And in his sleep, he took a rib from him, and out of that rib made woman. And he brought the woman to the man. And Adam said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And many people have said, and I've repeated this, that when God brought Eve to Adam, that Adam must have said, whoa, man, she was beautiful to him, and God created her beautiful. And it's really amazing when you look at creation. A lot of times, for whatever reason, when you're looking at animals, when you're looking at birds, a lot of times the female is the less attractive of the two. And the male is the one that is more beautiful. When you look at the peacocks, the males are the ones that have all the beautiful feathers. When you look at cardinals, it's the males that have that bright red. When you look even at lizards, the ones that we have, a lot of these that have been brought from other countries today. And when you look at lizards, they actually, the bright ones, the colored ones, are actually the males. And it seems like maybe the females need a little bit of encouragement to accept the males and to allow the males to mate with them so that they can actually produce and sustain themselves. But with humans, it's the opposite. Women are the most beautiful of the sexes, and God created women because man would not be complete without a woman. And you can take two men, and they can love each other, but they can't have children with each other, and they can't fully complement each other like a man and a woman can do. You can take two women and put them together, but they won't be able to have children by themselves. And God created from the foundation of the world for there to be a man and a woman, and for the woman to complement the man. And women provide so many things that men cannot provide for relationships, for nurture, for raising of children, obviously, in addition to the body parts and the reproductive organs that help sustain a child in the womb. But even in nurturing that child and raising that child throughout that child's life, we see just a huge, huge impact that women have. And even in thinking and bringing out whole different perspective to life and having a way that we can actually having a wife, a woman, to actually complement and make up what is lacking in a man. You know, one of the things that happens, men and women are created differently from the womb. And of course, we know Adam and Eve weren't created in the womb. God created them. But there is a difference between males and females that starts from the womb. You see, we have a right side of our brain and a left side of our brain. And initially, for both males and females, those sides are connected with each other. And what happens is in the womb, the male child in the womb has a testosterone bath. That's the male hormone. Testosterone bath that comes across the brain and actually separates the hemispheres of the brain. And James Dobson talks about this, the founder of Focus on the Family, and he says that men are brain damaged. And that's kind of a joke, but if you look at the differences between men and women, women are capable of multitasking so much easier, and they're capable of switching from the right side of the brain to the left side of the brain and vice versa. And men are very much either right side dominant or left side dominant, so that they're either very logical, being left-brained, or very artistic, being right-brained. And with women, it's very easy for them to switch back and forth. And for a woman, this gives her the ability to be making supper and hear a child crying in another room and immediately stop and go and help that child. A man can be sitting right next to his wife, and his wife can be talking to him, but he can be so focused on his work that he doesn't even hear her. And God has just made us different so that we can complement each other, so that we can really the woman can make up what is lacking in the man. I mean, imagine if women were as focused on a single task as men, there would be a lot of neglect of children. And yet God here knew that man could not be alone. It was not good for man to be alone. And he made him a woman to be a helper, to be comparable. And as we mentioned last week, God did not take a portion of Adam's head so that the woman could rule over man, or a portion of his foot so that man could stomp on women, but he took a portion of his side so that she would be his equal and would care for him and be a helper to him. We also see from the Ten Commandments that the Bible actually talks about how important women are and mothers are from the Ten Commandments. And you see the fourth commandment, or excuse me, the fifth commandment, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So here we see the command, the instruction to honor the mother, not just the father. It's not just the father that's important. It's not just the father that needs the recognition and the honor, but also the mother. And the mother is someone that definitely needs to be honored. And children, this is, the Bible says in the New Testament that this is the first commandment with a promise, because the promise is, if you honor your father and your mother, your days will be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And this whole concept of honoring your father and mother, this doesn't just mean making breakfast for the mother on Mother's Day, or giving her a card or flowers on Mother's Day, or giving the father a gift on Father's Day. Or a card on Father's Day. This is actually talking about honoring, and we really should honor our fathers and our mothers throughout our lifetimes. Every day we should honor them, and the best way to honor them is to live our lives in accordance with the commandments of God, to live our lives upright, to fear God, to honor Him, to obey Him and to keep His commandments, to put into practice the good things. And, you know, I know that there are some people that haven't experienced and haven't been trained as well as they should have by their parents. And certainly every parent is human. Every parent is subject to failure and is not perfect. But we need to look at, every single one of us has received some good training from our parents, and we should implement that. Certainly, if they failed in certain ways to uphold the standard of God, then we should not follow them in evil, but where they have encouraged us and trained us in righteousness and trained us in good behavior, trained us to be polite, trained us to be respectful, trained us to be hardworking and diligent, to be kind. We need to follow that and put that into practice and listen to those lessons and follow those lessons. And that is the best way to honor them, to live a life that is worthy of respect, that is worthy of praise. And of course, we can do this not really in and of ourselves, but by the grace of God, as we come humbly to God and ask God to forgive us of our sins, ask God to cleanse us from our iniquity, and ask God to set us free and to, through His grace, help us to live our lives in accordance with His commandments. You see, also in the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. This is in verse 14 of Deuteronomy 20. You can also read a repeat. I believe it's in Deuteronomy 5, might be in 4, but it's right around there in the book of Deuteronomy, the second rendering or the second reminder of the Ten Commandments. But you shall not commit adultery. This command actually brings about a protection for women and for the family. The family is so important, and protecting women, protecting men from adultery is so important that God actually placed a commandment in the Bible: you shall not commit adultery. We are to honor the covenant that we have made. I'm to honor the covenant that I have made with my wife. And, you know, some people think about their spouse kind of like they think about a car. when the car kind of gets old and isn't functioning as well as it used to, people want to go and trade it in on a newer car. And some people are, you know, think about their wives that same way. But God wants us to honor our wives. God wants us to be faithful to them, and God wants us to be faithful to them in marriage. And we also see from the book of Proverbs that mothers are so important. We already read earlier from Proverbs 23 about how mothers are placed as important, as much importance as a father. And here in Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 14, and then in verse 17, we read, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There's a generation that is pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." And this here shows that we are to honor our father and our mother, and not be like those who curse father, and don't bless mother, our mother, and don't be like those who mock our father and scorn obedience to our mother, because God will bring his judgment upon us if we do so. We need to honor both the father and the mother, and really work in our society to restore the value of mothers and motherhood. Definitely, mothers are valuable, but we need to really promote that and to exclaim that and to work to protect and to honor our mothers, not only on Mother's Day, but throughout the year. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
For many people, Memorial Day is merely a day at the beach. We remind you, though, that your day at the beach was paid for in part by the day brave men stormed the beaches of Normandy, and many other brave men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we and others may live free. This Memorial Day, take time to remember those who have sacrificed to secure and defend our freedom, and thank God for his blessings on America.